Let us pray. Holy One, as we muse on the stories of your grace, may we hear your words, either because of ours or in spite of them. Amen. So last week we began this story of Joseph. And Joseph's story is just one part of a sprawling family saga that runs from Abraham to Moses, from Iraq to Egypt. It runs from Sarah through her son Isaac to Isaac's son Jacob, Jacob's passionate love for Rachel, and finally to Rachel's son Joseph. Jacob was the father of 12 sons by two wives, sisters. Leah had 10 children and Rachel had 2, and these became the source of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now there are 3 threads that run through this great tapestry of a story, like rivers. Just as the story runs from the dry river in Ur, in Iraq, to the Nile in Egypt, and back to the River Jordan, the golden threads follow the people of God. So the first thread is, God is always there. God's promises are worked out both through these people and sometimes in spite of them. God's people are ultimately human. They hurt one another. And the third is, despite this, forgiveness is not only possible but essential. And when one person forgives others, the people are lifted from the pit, not just the one forgiven, and not just the one who forgives, but sometimes a whole family and a whole people. So remember the promise of God's presence, that Jacob had wrestled with God. But the tarnished thread is that even though Jacob had repeatedly been touched by God, still he was human. He was not careful to treat his children equally. He favored Joseph above all others, and the hurt feelings turned to rivalry, distrust, and anger. Joseph was not blameless. He took advantage of his father's favoritism, and the anger boiled over into hatred and violence, and his brothers planned to kill him, and they threw him into a pit, planning to leave him there to starve. Now, this story is retold in several places in Scripture, and in those places, there are differences in the story, and there are surprising glimpses of dissension among the brothers, or perhaps possibilities of grace. The oldest brother, Reuben, refuses to participate, but he doesn't tell his father. In one story, it is Judah, and in another, it is Benjamin who begs them not to kill him, but to sell him instead. But still, they didn't tell their father. So that's where we leave Joseph. We left him last week, not just a slave, but in prison, where dreams and nightmares abounded. All that we know about Joseph's character is told in just a few phrases throughout this story. We know he refused Potiphar's wife, despite repeated entreaties, and so finally she had him thrown in prison. We know that he was well-liked among the prisoners and known for his wisdom. We know he was trusted by the guards, so much so that the governor gave him, a prisoner, the running of the prison. And if you think that's a dubious distinction, you are likely right. He became the one who could explain the meaning of dreams, and it is the dreams that finally release him. Not his own dreams, the dreams of others. He becomes so well known for this that he comes to the attention of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh brings him out to explain Pharaoh's dreams. And again, we learn about his character in just a few sentences. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And he said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And removing the signet ring from his own hand, Pharaoh put it on Joseph's hand, and he arrayed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he rode through the streets in a chariot, and people called before him, make way for the governor. So remember the three threads. God's purpose is being worked out. The people of many nations will be saved by Joseph's wisdom. Grain is stored in warehouses against the famine. And when famine comes, people from all the surrounding countries will come to buy grain from Egypt. Second, God's people are human. And despite Joseph's own experiences of slavery, he is not humble. He glories in the power given to him. And he uses it for many good works, for the building of storehouses, for the distribution of grain, and for the saving of people. But the part we rarely read is that he also uses his power to make himself and his Pharaoh rich by enslaving the surrounding people. When the famine comes, people come to buy grain, first with gold and silver. And when the gold and silver is gone, they bring their livestock that they cannot feed and trade it for grain. And when the livestock is gone, finally, they come and sell themselves. And according to the story, finally, the whole of the people of Egypt, through Joseph, have become slaves to Pharaoh, working the land and tithing one-fifth of all they have. And when we think about a hero, that isn't always the story we want to tell. So where is that silver thread? The forgiveness that lifts Joseph out of that pit. And why is it so important in this story? So I want to quote a preacher named Barry Seagrim, who says that forgiveness is not a narrow religious subject. It is instead a desperately practical one. So many problems, emotional problems, physical problems, can be traced back to a burden of unforgiven guilt. And as the head of a large mental hospital once said, I could dismiss half my patients tomorrow if they could be assured of forgiveness. The violent ethnic clashes around the world are usually long-standing resentments breaking out in fresh attempts to settle old scores and the seeking of vengeance. Afghanistan, Syria, the Sudan, Bosnia. And according to Jewish philosopher Hannah Arendt, the only remedy for the inevitability of our history is forgiveness. She says two anxieties dominate most of our lives. First, we are anxious in the face of our unchangeable past. We long to recreate segments of our own stories, but we're stuck with them. And second, we are anxious in the face of our unpredictable future. And we long to control our own destinies, but we have learned that the world is not under our own control. Two basic longings lying at the root of almost all others, and they are frustrated, for we cannot alter a painful past, and we may not be able to control a threatening future. And the story that we tell of God is that God answers our deepest anxieties. For God is a forgiving God who recreates our pasts by forgiving them. And God is a promising God who makes and keeps promises. By forgiving us, he changes the past, and by promising God, he secures our future. By God's grace, we participate in the power of forgiveness to redeem the past, and by grace, we participate in that future. We too can forgive, and we too must forgive. We too can make a promise and keep it. By sharing those two divine powers, we become even more powerfully human and most wonderfully free. Hannah Arendt has said that only when we act after the fashion of God can we overcome our darkest forebodings. There is only one remedy for the inevitability of history: forgiveness. There is only one way to overcome the unpredictabilities of the future: to make promises for how we will act in faith and keep the promises we make. And those two promises of the human spirit are two things necessary to keep our lives meaningful. And if we lose the art of forgiving, and if we lose the power of promising, we let life become brutish. To the extent that we let these divine gifts atrophy, we forfeit the right to be called the children of God. Joseph is lifted from his pit only when he offers forgiveness to his family. And if we keep reading the story, we learn that this is so hard for his brothers to believe and understand that they remain fearful their whole lives. They are sure he is just waiting for Jacob to die to take his revenge. I can't believe it when that proves not to be true. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing for Joseph or for his brothers. They have to learn to forgive themselves to understand Joseph's forgiveness. Forgiveness becomes a way of living for them. And in that way of living, in that forgiving, a whole people came into existence. Because this is the origin story of God's people. This is the story of the Jews becoming God's chosen people. And it is in this repeated living of forgiveness that the 12 tribes become one people, one nation. God promised Abram that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, and they would be a blessing to all nations. And it is in this story of God's purpose worked out and forgiveness given that this comes to pass and is still coming to pass. And so we pray that our lives also may be redeemed, that our pasts may be redeemed, that forgiveness will redeem our past, and the promise of God will inspire our promises that create the future. May it be so. Amen.